Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi Neil.
Hello.
And today we are talking about money matters and taking your calls for on-air readings. 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like a reading. We invite our listeners to follow us. We invite our listeners to become followers, and you can do so by joining us here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. There are two sites, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. You can either like or follow us, send us a friend request. We appreciate it if you do that very much. And that's our show for the day. So money matters. We actually never got to discuss to our discussion on Wednesday because we had so many callers. So we are going to spend some time doing that today, and we invite our callers to wait in the queue while we talk and listen, of course, to our conversation, and be patient because we will get to your calls, but we do need to do the regular order today and get to our discussion.
So let me start off by saying, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Okay, so that was in reference to money matters. And the idea here is that money doesn't necessarily have to be equated with something evil, because it's not so much the question that money is evil, but does money corrupt the soul? So when we talk about the issues of money and money matters, we're really dealing with the more or less the motivation behind making money and the real reason behind. I mean, we understand that we do live in a world where money does matter.
But that's part of the challenge of being on the planet is to balance spirit and the physical demands of the earth that we live on.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with having a long life and prospering and gaining some form of wealth and enjoying your life. There's nothing wrong with those things. I think the idea is does money corrupt your soul? That's the main intention.
Well, does money corrupt the soul? It doesn't have to corrupt the soul if there is that balance
between
spirit and money.
It doesn't necessarily have to corrupt the soul if it's not involved with greed and fear. Sometimes we have when we connect to money and it's so vital to our survival, we seem to think of money as something we need, and then it becomes something we become greedy for because we equate it to that it encompasses all things, body, mind, soul, spirit. And the more wealth we have, the more secure we have. Where at that, in that, under that conclusion, then there would be corruption. Or the idea of fear. The idea of fear of losing money. That if you don't have money, you have no soul, you have no being, you have no existence. So I think the issue of money is not so much the issue of it being a material thing, coin, paper, that circulates in the world so that we can live, survive, and enjoy our life. I think the sin is that it's equated with something that is in the form of of a sense of corruption over the spirit or the soul of a human being trying to obtain that money. So that's the real question about money matters that I think we have to really address. So I think everyone has to examine their own motivations in making money. For those of us who make money just to make money, just to make money, just to make money, and to build on that capital and to expound on their ego, that's probably getting into more dangerous territory than someone who prospers, shares, sacrifices, gives, and establishes a sense of world abundance with money, not just ego abundance.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, many of our callers, I wouldn't say are, you know, billionaires. So there's the other, there's the other aspect of money matters in which people are struggling with money and trying to make a living, and money and survival becomes the forefront of their thought, you know, and takes them away from spiritual principles. So they may not be totally rich, but they're trying to get by and make life work in the world.
Here,
so
that's a good point, because, you know, we deal with life energy, and making money is a natural movement of life energy. It provides for us the ability to have energy, so to speak. So there is some sense of nourishment in money, because it is a life energy producing product. And so when we deal with, when people call us about money matters and ask questions, you know, am I going to get this money? Am I going to get this job? Do you see something coming in for me? It's not so much the money as what the money will produce, which is that sense of life energy, well-being, security, that kind of thing. And so when you and I, Kristen, deal with issues of money, we don't necessarily address our audience in terms of, well, we, you know, yeah, how can we make you a millionaire? You know, positive thinking and all
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes, yeah, we'll get calls about, you know, when am I going to win the lottery?
Yeah.
You know,
those,
which is generally
things,
not what
fine.
We're dealing with.
They're not important to us. What's important to us is the idea that money is equatable to life energy, and that natural movement, that where money is absorbed into the human being so that they can have a vital life force. That's where we equate the two. Now, that isn't to say that there are other admirable traits in people who don't seek money and who live just by soul and spirit alone, and just deal with the body as a necessity that they have to deal with. You have to eat, drink, and do all the bodily functions that are necessary for survival. But they don't, their drive isn't about making money. And that's fine too. But it doesn't mean to say that someone who has a drive to make money is any less a person. What it is about the content of the motivation and the intent, and then the delivery of having processed money, what a human being does with the, how it's turned and manifested back into the world. So I think that's the energy. And, you know, and as we have cycles of being, we have natural cycles of existence that we go through. We also have, one of the cycles of being is the cycle of prosperity. So when we have that cycle of prosperity and we talk about wealth, well, I think that the prophets and the mystics talk
the
about
prophets.
The abundance of wealth.
We're talking about P-R-O-P-H, not P-R-O-F-I-C.
Yeah.
So, the prophets of the mystics.
Yeah. Well, that's another matter.
Right,
yes,
I was going to bring that up.
Mystics and shamans, I mean, you know, whether they seek donations or they have a charge, I mean, everyone's entitled to make a living. And that's what
right,
it is,
and,
you make
know,
a living, that, you know. That's exactly what it is. It's a definition in itself.
And some people are blessed with vast amounts of wealth, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing or non-spiritual. It's just what you do with that wealth, how you handle it, and where your mind is in terms of of acquisition and how you share, how you, you know, being a philanthropist if you have that kind of money.
Right. I think,
and rather,
you know,
not being self-indulgent to an extreme level.
The idea of being a wealthy person and the idea of equating it to comfort, we look at comfort on two levels. Do we just have self-comfort where we're contained behind in our castle and we just live according to our own desires and needs and pleasures? Or are we other conscious approach people where we provide, if we have comfort, then we seek to give comfort to others.
To others, right.
And that may be through money matters.
Service.
It may be through service. It may be through guidance. You know, all of these things matter in terms of how we discover and activate this cycle of prosperity, whereby we're not being corrupted by it. So I think that it is about the end result is really about not separating ourselves from being a total human being, that we're just not a material human being, a physical human being, that there's got to be a sense of soul and spirit in the attitude of money, and that it's done in such a way that we're not deluding ourselves towards that goal, but in all actuality, objectively speaking, it would be under general consensus that a person's connection to money is also other-oriented and also based upon a soul and spirit level of interaction.
Okay, so back to those that are having more problems in the first chakra, rather than have a great deal of wealth and need to balance how they're distributing it or, you know, sharing it with others, et cetera, not being totally selfish in their financial pursuits. How do you advise those who are in the position of just trying to survive on the planet to, you know, balance spirit with being able to pay the rent? I mean, that's tough because when you get into positions where you're barely making it, it's difficult to keep in perspective, you know,
well,
a sense of spirituality.
In our outline, that would be addressed according to the first chakra and the basis of the foundation and the solid footing that we have on the planet. That it gets more into the psyche too, about how motivated a person is, how much they're taking responsibility over their lives. So I think, sensibly speaking, that those who are struggling, who are involved in the spirit and the soul, but they're struggling financially, we have to look at the attitude of self-responsibility in terms of grounding oneself. I have more respect for someone who is struggling that's working at McDonald's than someone who's struggling and waiting in their apartment for a job to come that fits their
right, because
needs.
They don't want to lower themselves to a standard or beneath the standards of what they expect in employment. Though it's difficult, I just to play devil's advocate, it's difficult if you have an education and had job experience to get a job in McDonald's because you're overqualified.
It's
that makes it difficult.
It may be difficult, and that's clearly, you know, revealed. Yes, of course, if you have a PhD or something, you don't want to work at McDonald's. But
you may not get hired at McDonald's
with
a PhD.
The concept of existence is that we connect to everybody and no one is above anything. And if something in the universe is occurring to where one is compelled to address their relationship with the world on a financial basis that might demand a low base survival rate, maybe that's part of the whole concept of experience. I mean, there's a lot of people who are billionaires and then they lose everything and then they're billionaires again. The spectrum of maintaining any one thing in the breath of life from beginning to end of our physical breath is there's no guarantee and there's no uniformity between saying that one is constant in terms of their financial status. If it is, it's a blessing. Good for you. But if it isn't, then I would advise those that are in a high realm to connect to people on the lower degree. There are a lot of people who do a lot of mouthwash and they say, well, you know, I connect to the lower person. Well, they're billionaires and millionaires. But to really experience the attitude of what it is, there's a great movie called Sullivan's Travels. Sullivan's Travels. About looking, and it was made during the Depression, Preston Sturges, about looking at the common man, the common individual, and getting into connection with that experience, just as in the Great Depression. You know, when we look at people, you know, when we talk about feeding artists, look at Bob Dylan. He's a wealthy man, but he also, his wealth is supplied so he can give us the poetry. He can connect to the common person. He can be the social, outspoken person and share with us his gifts in terms of his lyrics and the content of that, just as it could be anywhere from them to somebody in a higher realm, like a Mozart or whatever it may be. But talking about music, but when we get into the higher aspect of how we connect to the common person, I think that's most important in terms of our cycle of prosperity, no matter how much money or how little money we have.
Okay. And perhaps we can continue this on Wednesday, but I think we should take some calls. Neil, first is 727. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kate.
Kate, we can hardly hear you.
Uh-oh, how's that?
I think,
is it any better?
It's probably, you know what, I'm thinking it's probably my computer speakers. For some reason, this computer has never had great sound, but anyway, yeah, if you talk right into your phone, that will help us out. Where are you calling from, Kate?
I'm calling from Florida.
Florida, and your birth date?
9-8-55.
That's funny. 9-8-65, because I wrote down 9-8, so that is
55, though.
65, five, right. 5-5. Five. Five, five. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, see, we're not hearing too well. So that's funny. I wrote that down before you gave that to us. 17-27-37-21. So I got your month and day, and you are, how old are you? 61?
61.
Going to be 62 this year, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what's your question, Kate?
The speaker is addressing energy. So any feedback about my current energy and energy coming up and how it's evolving?
Well, Kate, are you currently in any way in a business venture? Are you pursuing any kind of business or money making scheme?
When you say scheme, that doesn't sound altogether full of integrity.
I can't.
We are having such a hard time hearing you, Kate.
Oh, my goodness. The word scheme sort of lacks integrity for me, so it made me chuckle.
She says
I do have.
Yeah, lacks integrity for her. Did you hear that? She says the word scheme lacks integrity, so she's laughing.
Oh,
okay,
uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
I do have several ideas in development.
Several ideas in development.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So you're scheming. <I'm
just Yeah. kidding.
laughs> You could put it that way.
Or no, I'm just teasing.
I prefer designing.
I'm just teasing.
I'm teasing too. I'm teasing
okay.
too.
Well, you know, really, I don't want to belabor this. But when we look at scheme, let's look at just briefly that word for 30 seconds. We're really looking at a systematic plan or maybe perhaps an arrangement for attaining a goal. You know, when we think, you think of scheme, you think of the villain kind of rubbing his hands together and he's got a plan going on. But scheme doesn't necessarily have to do with something that's devious or has an ill intent or it's illegally wrong. That's the word's been corrupted to that sense because we as individuals basically can be very corrupted. But originally speaking, a scheme is really a large-scale systematic plan. That's really what it is. But just so that we don't abuse the word scheme too much and we give it its rightful due, your journey right now, Florida, Kate, you're in Florida. My scheming isn't too well today. Your ambition or your goals, your programming, if you will, about maybe producing something that might in the end result promote money or livelihood, I think it's under well intention. You have already established yourself that you're an ethical person and that you intend to not just help yourself but help others. So if there are a number of things that you're thinking of and you're structuring, I'm feeling that if we pull three things out of that content, there is one that's going to stick. Is there, now, aside from that, I want to jump over to a whole other table. Is anyone in your family or background, has anyone ever been involved in medicine, nursing? I don't come up, but I don't know how far the cousin can go back to, but to your knowledge, anyone in that area?
Oh, I so want to hear what you're saying. Everything was garbled. So if you'll just give me the topic or the subject of what you were inquiring about. Is anyone been involved in what, please?
In nursing, on any level, or medicine, in the family. I don't care.
Oh, you're so funny. I have an undergraduate degree in nursing. And I did not clinically practice. I obtained a graduate degree in business administration and went on to work in healthcare administration for 25 years.
So you were in healthcare, and I mean, despite the fact that you had a degree in nursing, you still were in the healthcare field. So there's two validations there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it fits.
Have we ever talked to Kate before?
I don't think we've talked to Kate before.
Well, you see, Kate, that's the energy of doing a reading on the radio when you call us. Kristen got your birth date. That starts off that's the horse out of the gate. And we move forward and we get into the deeper involvement of your soul and the intent of having an undergraduate degree in nursing and then a graduate degree in business administration involving medicine or hospitals or doctors. So the attitude of where you're going with these plans of yours is under a good guidance.
Can we just, did she tell us her plans?
Oh, she can.
Quickly, before we move on to the next caller, Kate, what type of plans do you have?
I'm going to offer you two words. Without divulging too much, the two words are clean and clarity.
Clean and clarity.
Well, we could use that in our laundry. But aside from that.
Or in the shower.
Yeah. But aside from that, that's fine. I mean, they're broad topics. Clean and clarity is broadly spoken. But here's what I'm going to say in terms of connecting it to you, Kate, in Florida.
The
idea of this venture is forthcoming, and more than the probability, the possibility of it being successful is somewhat a little bit behind the probability, but they're both out of the gates if we speak. I don't know why I'm using these horse references, but the attitude of this is that to go forward on this idea. And what we're getting on the radio show, because these are brief readings, Kate, is that there seems to be an established consensus from whatever we're connecting to that would promote and thereby involve you in continuing this venture and seeing it through as a plan. So it sounds good to us.
Okay, Kate, thank you for your call.
Thank you all so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Kate can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook. Those accounts are linked under Blog Talk Radio profile. So we do invite Kate to seek us out there. And for further conversation, 562-596-7818. That's the number to call after the show. For those of you who are listening and haven't called yet, 914-338-0164. Who's next? I'm mixed up. 203 is next. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi, it's Michelle.
Michelle, hi. Was that with two L's?
I didn't think I was on. It's 1L.
1L? Okay. Michelle, your birth date?
November 29th, 1956.
Oh, Michelle, I was thinking I should be remembering you. Now I know who you are. I remember your birth date.
Oh,
you're a 34/7. Wow. I remember.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going on?
Well, there's been, significant change in my life. Not only did we move, but living is different, kind of downsizing, not sure, what I'm doing. Do I buy a house? What do I do? My daughter is trying to go to college and she's moving towards leaving eventually. So I just want to be, significantly happier,
Are you still in the same job that you were in last
no.
time we spoke with you? You're out
no.
of that job. Are you working at all?
Yeah, I'm working. And while I don't love this job, it's a job. And I'm just kind of in that almost like a waiting state, a limbo state, just trying to figure things out.
Okay, and what about your living situation? Has that changed too?
Yeah, I moved and we're in this. It's one of the worst places I've lived in my for my adult life, but it's okay in some respects. It's like because my daughter is getting older now, and I don't need the backyard, I don't need the best school system, I don't need the big house, and I'm kind of like, what am I doing? And I'm not sure, so I'm just sitting in this place,
And is it just you occupying it with your daughter, or is there like a roommate?
No.
I know that was a consideration before too.
Oh, well,
I remember.
Oh,
I remember lots
gosh,
of details.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, right, because we're out of that really expensive area. It's me and my daughter. So it's like, easy. It's real easy. It's not real nice, but it's easy right now. And
okay.
And then I just took in a foster dog. I've got my cat and my daughter. But
okay,
nothing
so
else has happened in my life, like really nothing.
Okay, and she's in the South Bay, but in our South Bay, but South Bay.
Mm-hmm. Well, in downsizing, one attitude about downsizing is that you also save. Are you able to save by downsizing in spite of the fact that you don't really like your job?
Well, now the funny thing is that because everything is like, okay, living costs less. She's not going to an expensive college. So I'm actually working less. So I'm not saving as much, but I'm kind of like saving on energy. That's about it.
Okay.
And she works in computer, the internet, technology, that kind of, right?
I do. I'm an engineer.
Engineer. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm pushing the limits. At work,
right now,
work less.
Michelle, the value of life, you've downsized, you're not living in an ideal situation. This is one of the worst, environmentally speaking, and the worst situations you've ever been in, probably still tolerable, but not to your general standards. The fact that your daughter is going to be going to college and you're going to be in a house with a dog and a cat, you have to start looking at what's going to nurture your soul and spirit. If you're sustaining your existence somewhat by your job, but you're not really finding the nourishment in that job that it gives you life, then you've got to start looking, if you are community-minded, at your community for resources that might enhance your well-being. And if you're not community-minded and you're more introverted, then you need to look inwardly within your own soul to figure out how each day can feel good. And that can be, you know, some kind of creative endeavor, singing, dancing, painting, music, whatever, you know, writing, or it can be just the naturalistic sense of being, going for a walk and just enjoying your environment and using that as one of your ritualistic pleasures of each day. You know, I think that there's a way probably with you, Michelle, that you've got to go inside of your being and get to know it better. Because if you're not really content on a fully realized basis, that means you don't know yourself well enough to find out how to find that contentment. Now, some people do it through outward means. You know, they join a social club. God forbid they get into drugs or alcohol to try to find some sense of connection. Or they just find something, some hobby. But even then, you need to go inside. So I would say that you need a general sense of reflection. And if you're an engineer, engineers probe. They're not, engineers are built to have insight, to look into, to understand how things operate and work. So I would say that to remove yourself potentially from the mechanical world, the electrical world, the commercial world, and to go into the workings of your soul might be important, even at the age of 60. This is a whole different area and a decade for you to explore.
It is. I think we're all very affected by our environment, and this environment is literally the desert. You know, it's there's not a lot going on. There's some of the things that might appeal to me, you know, is a nice suburb with a nice green trees and green grass in the backyard and gardening and, you know, like suburbia, you know, that in and of itself, you know, the home environment is very important. I don't have that here. It's very dry, arid. Gardening is really not a great thing out here. It's things, you know, even little things like that, and I'll put them as little, but they're like the dailiness of living, you know, what you look forward to doing. And I don't really have that here.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Michelle, but can't you create that in your own environment? I mean, you're saying that it's a dry, arid area, but you're in California, right? I mean, yes, there's desert here, but there should be, if you're, you know, doing a garden at home, something
well,
in
you
your
know,
yard
it's
or
beyond
inside.
You know,
it's beyond, I think beyond that.
Beyond, I'm sorry, go ahead. Let her say what
she's
saying.
I think it's just beyond that in terms of, you know, that as an example, I think like the beauty that's surrounding me, I think it's really missing here. So I am like a missing what I know to be beautiful in life.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. I have to take a different stance. Walt Disney made a great movie called The Living Desert. And in the desert, there's life. I'm very prone to natural curiosity. And so I would say that around you, there is the wind, there is the sand, the dirt, the insects, the birds. There's a whole vast world of information around you that I think would be that we don't in the city necessarily have the advantage of. And I think there is great sound and silence, and there is great poetry in vast landscapes that seem to be barren through the naked eye. But the closer you look into your world, the more you're going to see a fascinating world. I mean, maybe it's not your cup of tea. I probably would have a microscope and discovering things in the environment. I'd have binoculars. I would understand the migration of the birds in the sky, the lizards, the snakes. Maybe that's not what you're discussing, but I've got to take a little bit of dialogue here and express to you that you are in a living world And thank God there are deserts because they're fascinating and they have a fascinating ecosystem that I think that just to say I'm in the desert, I'm not really around that much. I tend to disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I relocated 5 years ago from an area that was like extremely, extremely beautiful to an area that is not as beautiful, more developed, so on and so forth. And I mean, there's so much in my environment. You know, animals, there's nature, there's trees. I mean, it's not as easily accessible, but you know, it's there to enrich my life. So I've found a way to adapt to my environment that is not the same as what I was in before. I mean, so I can relate to what you're saying on a personal level for sure.
Yeah.
You have to create it.
Yes. Well, yeah, and I am. You know, I got, you know, the dog because a dog is a good thing out here. It's, you know, it's, I don't have to worry about a nice place the dog is going to ruin. So, yeah, I get stuff like that, but I don't know. It's beyond that. You know, I'm trapped here. I've got fear of heights and I can't drive a lot of the roads. I can only drive the flat road. It's a weird area.
Like I said, Michelle, you gotta look at the natural environment, see if you can get resources from it, hobbies, pleasures, talents, creativity. If you're there, you might be there for a reason and try to probe what those deeper reasons are. But we're going to get on to other callers. So
okay.
I hope this helped some to refresh you with some form of information.
Yeah, and you're always welcome to connect again outside the radio show or give us a call again, Michelle. But thanks for checking in. Hope things improve for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, let's bring on another Michelle. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil.
10/17/74. She's a 30=3. How are you?
Good. I'm good except for my housing situation, which is why.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Home.
Okay, what's
yeah,
that?
So I need to move. I need to move, and I've been looking for a new place. I currently live with a friend of mine, and sometimes her toddler is with us. That's the house I'm at. And I need to move like really soon. And again, I'm not really finding what I need. And I feel that the place that I'm going to be in is going to be temporary. And if you can just give me some thoughts on that. So what kind of place I can find?
What kind of place you can find? And didn't you have so when did you relocate last time? Was it like a year ago? Or did you not do that?
No, that's true. Yeah, I was living with a friend back then, and in June I moved here.
Okay, so there's been a relocation in the last 7 months or 8 months or something.
Right.
Okay. And are finances a problem, or is that?
That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, what do we have?
Well,
what can we grab out of the bag from Michelle?
Grab out of the bag, yeah.
You know, you seem to be in some sort of transition, and if you have friends that are providing for you some sense of shelter, but you're still in the midst of moving, it's going to be equatable to a job. So, you know, the only thing in an esoteric way is I'm hearing a lot of music around you. Now,
God, you keep mentioning music today.
I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah, I do. You're wanting to move, but is that also dependent on a job situation for you?
Yes, I think so.
And what kind of work?
I'm an English as a second language teacher, and I'm going to be here in Florida for about another month, and then I'm going to visit Spain for about a month, and then when I come back, I have to have a place settled. But while I'm in Spain, I'm actually going to be coincidentally staying with a friend of mine, and he's a trained pianist.
That's why it is. Because I was getting music around you, and I had to figure out where that vibrational feel was coming from. And he's a trained pianist. And English being a second language, the language is a music. The voice is a music. Whether we're speaking it, learning it, it's all composed. Syllables and consonants and whatever. translation to some extent. And there are all the romantic languages too. But let's not get into that. I have a sense that after your visit to Spain, you're going to be coming back and there's going to be some form of abundance. Now, that's a big word, but it's a positive word. So I'm seeing a form of abundance. I'll tell you this before we move on to our next caller. You're going to see a bird's nest and little birds in the nest. You're going to actually come upon this. You're going to see it. And when you do, it will be a sign about this connection to abundance, meaning maybe it's about rebirth, maybe it's about spring, but it's going to equate to your journey and having abundance upon your return from Spain.
And the bird's nest is here in the U.S. or in Spain?
I don't know where the bird's nest will be.
There's bird's nests all over the world,
You're
actually.
Going to see a bird's nest. You're going to look and see a bird's nest. I don't know where it is yet. You know, you don't normally walk outside your door and say, oh, there's a bird's nest on my front porch. I don't know where it will be. But you'll see it. There'll be no mistake about it.
Okay.
Okay, and, so that's just the, yeah.
Yeah, continue, yeah.
I think is that it?
Yeah,
that
that's all we got for today.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Michelle. Okay. 856. This is Gwendolyn. Hey, Gwendolyn.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Hi. I'm calling. It's funny, the synchronicity of the show. Financial. And I agree with that. I just actually had this going on the other day. I understand it's a soul level type thing. So apparently I had some trauma to a soul level about money. It's not that I wish money away. I've been on all levels of the spectrum here as far as having it, not having it, having everything I wanted, having nothing. It has never affected me as far as how I saw abundance in the world, what I see in other people, how I treated other people. For crying out loud, I have people who tell me, stop giving stuff out because you leave yourself with nothing, for crying out loud. And I get that, and I've had to learn not to do that. Make sure I'm sustained first before I try to sustain someone else. There are times where you just give it anyway, but that's just me. Now I'm looking at two situations, one that has an evil attached to it, and one that is saying that there's no evil attached to it. So that's why I'm calling, because I'm in this transitional phase going on. I knew it was coming. I feel it. I know I'm in it. So really I'm looking for the guidance of that. There's one I have to deal with on the evil side, and there's one that's presenting on the other side. And I have that fear factor that comes in, although I'm mindful, and I put it back and just say, okay, I'll surrender, I'll trust it. So I'm just hoping that there's some guidance here today on that, because it is and has been for me some type of soul-driven. I see it. I have in the past. I see money as evil. People grieve. They're selfish. They don't give to the person they walk by. They're judging them instead. So all of these factors for me, it is an area of challenge for me. It angers me when I see people who don't help others, and that. You know, I've learned to control how I feel about it because I understand why they're doing it. It doesn't make me feel any better. But now it's about me, and I have to zero in on that.
So, question, Gwendolyn, this situation with the evil and non-evil, the money situation that you're dealing with, what is this involving somebody in your life from before?
Yes, one that's been in my life on the evil side. That's what money does.
Is this like your situation with your ex-husband or
alimony? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a money-driven ego. It's an evil ego. And I'm working with that. You know, I'm preparing now. It's got to stop. However, that's mine. And that abundance, I don't wish it away. It's there for a reason. I earned that.
Right.
I worked really hard.
So you're able to sustain yourself from that, but you have a problem with him in terms of his ethics. Obviously.
Absolutely.
And then the other situation.
And then being faced with someone who is presenting as, a non-evil money, and I need to know whether to trust that or not.
Like a business proposition?
On a personal level.
On a personal level,
but
or like a living situation?
It seems to be somewhat of a mix. I'm not really sure. So that's the. I know about one. I know they hit the target there. I know how to hit that target. However, the other is on a personal.
Isn't
sure
the alimony situation a constant? I mean, it's not like you're going to walk away from it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
What,
it doesn't end, but it's not being done. Right, it's not being done. And it's being done in an evil way to hurt me, to hurt my children, which I don't appreciate. I'm ready to hit that target where it belongs.
Okay.
And then on the other side, I have someone presenting me with abundance and that trust factor of, I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting with the energy, and the mind and the energy just keep clashing at a certain point. I'm trying to get past that, but I'm not.
Okay.
I need some guidance there.
Well, you're dealing, Gwendolyn, with the split psyche of male energy in terms of one male trying to take money from you, as opposed to maybe perhaps one male trying to promote money with you. So if there is some sort of personal / business connection you have with the more positive side of the male psyche in this other individual, I would say to approach that obviously with conservative steps. And if there's anything that this person is trying to involve you in where you would have a joint business interest, whether it's something online or something, whatever it may be, I would definitely approach it, but do it with conservative steps. Is this other positive male figure, what kind of business is this person in?
They're in their engineering business, and they have their own little nest egg that they want to share with me. And they're
they have
a process.
They have a what business? A what business?
They're in engineering, and they have their own personal nest egg. He has his own personal mistakes. He wants to share that with
me. They're in a hearing business, like hearing aids? What do you?
No, he's an engineer.
Oh, engineer.
That's weird.
Engineer.
Yes, he's an engineer. And while I work, he has a nest egg stashed away somewhere that he's presenting to me. I'm not sure whether to go with this or not.
Well, conservative, right now, Gwendolyn, I would use conservative scrutiny. I would be cautious. I would see what the arrangement is, how you would enter it, what are the motives, the intentions, what is the interest level. But I think right now, since this is around you, I don't think it's an evil thing. I think it's in a curious way, it's somewhat intriguing that this would be offered to you.
Right.
So
it's cautious.
Yeah, but be cautious. But approachable, but cautious.
Now, is this some twin soul connection or some family connection going on? Is it karmic? I'm not really sure. It's so strong, and yet I can't place it. Like, I get crown chills. I get body chills. I just get affirmations left and right. There's something on the soul level, and I don't want to mix it with the human plane all at the same time. So it's been confusing for me with that energy coming in on soul level and then coming back to the human mind.
Yeah, I understand that. Are you living with this person now?
No.
And how did you meet this person?
Just brought into my life, crown show started going off. You know, I was told I was snubbing this person. Although I wasn't. I get approached by different people. It's just, to me, the same old lame line, lame old circle. So I wasn't being like that.
Aside from the abstractions, did meet this person in a social setting, through a friend?
Yes, social.
Oh. And so is there any romantic inclination here?
This is the guy she was asking about, which I thought from last show. And he's offering you a place to live or money?
Yeah, abundance in the end. I mean, it's not something that my eyes on the target, but the way it's being presented, I'm uncomfortable, and yet I want to trust it at all at the same time. So I can't, I'm having a hard time discerning between my soul and my mind. And then at the heart level, I don't, I protect
it. Well, you know, the soul, you don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be taken advantage of, and you don't want your delicate soul to be damaged by someone being rude or obnoxious or not on the up and up. But,
exactly.
And so, you know, you protect that. That's the last, that's the first and last thing you want to protect. You know, so being cautious there doesn't mean that you just hand your soul or your heart over to somebody. If this
right.
person has interest in you and is offering, you know, if he has a quote nest egg and he is willing to have you come into his home or whatever and share his living quarters with, you know, with privileges, if you will, and then he wants to kind of you maybe get you involved in some kind of business. I don't, you know, going about it cautiously, you know, you just have to make sure that you're not putting in too much, that you're going to lose too much.
What kind of work does this guy do? Does he work, Gwendolyn?
Yes, engineering.
Oh, did I miss that? I stepped away for a moment. Oh, you said
yes,
engineering.
Okay.
I was right here. What's wrong
yes.
with me?
Yeah, he's an engineer, so he's not always on land right now, but willing to change that in the upcoming couple months, which pretty much lands where Neil projected, you know, a love interest coming, and it's landing right on June. It's,
and how did he amass his nest egg?
I'm sorry?
How did he amass his, if he has money, is it from his work or...
I'm learning, yeah, through work and putting it away, from what I understand, because, you know, I have to ask those questions and I'm chewing them out. It's a tough one for me. I'm not driven by money. I'm not a money-driven person. I'm about sustaining, but I'm not about being driven by it. I won't have it.
Well, you know, Gwendolyn, you know, the opportunity is being presented to you. You're asking about the attitude of the good and the evil. It doesn't sound like you don't have a lot to lose. I mean, he's not going after your money. Do you have a lot of money
right.
that he'd be going after? You know, you're not in a secure position. If he has a general interest towards you and he has a kind of a first stage attraction and he wants to group with you, you know, further involvement would be looking at his birth date and seeing.
Do you have his birth date?
Right, that's the one 2371. It's the one
that's
he broke
right.
down.
You gave it to us. Sorry.
Yeah,
it was
2397.
I'm sorry?
There's just a strong connection. I don't know whether it's soulmate, karmic. I'm not aware of a
well,
twin
karmic,
soul here
just,
yet.
Huh?
There's a karmic connection.
I'm not aware of any twin soul.
I didn't hear what she said. What did you say, Gwendolyn?
I apologize. I'm not sure whether it's some soul connection going on. I'm not aware of any twin soul connection here on this plane. At the same time, there's something really strong in that. That 123.71 is coming strong. It's constant.
Well, it's not a twin soul connection. And soulmates are karmic connections. So, I mean, there's karma, definitely. We determined that on the show. And there's probably some kind of, you know, connection on the soul
right.
level.
I probably should have said unfinished karma between us. Seems like
well,
going
you know,
on here.
Gwendolyn, he's his master number is a six, which involves
right.
a certain sense of vision. And he has a lot
right.
of sixes in his energy. He doesn't have a lot of sixes in his energy.
She has a lot of sixes in her
energy.
But his karmic, the accumulation of his karmic numbers, 1, 2, and 3 are six. And the drop from 7 to 1 in his year is a six. So when we're looking at a person, he's a 24 equals six. You know, he's got a lot of ground energy in there because his first three numbers equate to a succession of chakra energy, 1, 2, 3, born January 23rd.
Which is probably why he has good security and stability in his finances.
It could be, and the 71
and
is an 8. So
yeah.
I kind of think that, you know, we may make a mistake here, but I kind of think you if the emotions don't run rampant and things don't get out of hand, and you go about this cautiously, you could probably experience step by step with a daily allowance of checking it out every day, a sense of good standing with the person. So I don't, you know, if he turns out to be evil and bad, it's not something we're picking up right now. I would kind of cautiously look at this. You know, the idea is not to jump into anything.
Correct.
You don't just jump into a lake. There might be a crocodile, but cautiously.
Right. I study it first. That's how I am. I have to study the water.
Okay,
right.
Gwendolyn, we have to close
thank
the show
you.
For the day.
Yes, thank you.
That helped. Okay.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much. Take care. Love you guys.
Okay, bye, Gwendolyn. All right, we are back on air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And that is, again, Wednesday of next week. We hope everybody has a great weekend. We invite those who haven't done so already to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter. Thank you so much for your participation, everyone. And for further questions, 562-596-7818. Thanks.